Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 17th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled New D118 Board Member Raises Alarm Over Special Meeting. This is written by Kegla White. Danville District 118 will hold a special meeting Thursday, April 17th at 5:30 p.m. Member-elect Chris Easton says the board is rushing to force through votes on the settlement with former Superintendent Dr. Alicia Geddes, as well as votes on a new bus contract before new members are sworn in on May 7th. According to the public agenda, the meeting will start at 5:30 p.m. with a closed session before reconvening for an open session. The agenda for the closed session says the board could discuss any number of issues, including but not limited to employee appointments, employment, compensation, dismissals, complaints, negotiations, selection of a person to fill a public office, property acquisition, lease, purchase, emergency security procedures, student discipline, the placement of individual students in special education programs, and other matters relating to individual students, actual potential litigation, self-evaluation practices and procedures, or professionals' ethics when meeting with a representative of a statewide association of which the public body is a member. The board will vote after reconvening with this open session. The special meeting will involve current board members, including outgoing President Dr. Randall Ashton, Vice President Shannon Schroeder, and Elder Tyson Parks. Though election results were certified by the Danville Election Commission on Wednesday, April 16th at 10 a.m., school board members don't have to be sworn in until 40 days after the election, which took place on April 1st. According to Stephanie E. Jones, legal counsel for District 118, the city election certification does not seat the new board or unseat the current board. New board members Chris Easton, Tori Town, and Dr. Tom Halloran will not be able to participate in official board business until the official organizational meeting takes place, transitioning old members out. At the meeting, which will take place May 7th, the current board will adjourn, a president pro temp will be appointed, the new board will be sworn in, and the newly elected board members will take their seats in order to conduct board business, Jones said. The current board remains in place and is responsible for conducting board business until the process for organizing the board occurs, Jones said. Though the board has 40 days to swear in the new members, Easton said District 118 is one of the last in the area to do so, something he believes is intentional on their part. Allowing a board composed of members who no longer hold an electoral mandate to make impactful decisions undermines public trust, Easton said. Regarding the decision of the board to delay the official transition of power to new members until the last minute, Easton said creates the appearance, if not the reality, of circumventing the will of the people. Their time is up. The board should act, hold the organizational meeting immediately, and seat the duly elected members. Votes have been spoken. It's time to honor their decision, Easton said. The special meeting will take place Thursday, April 17th at 5:30 p.m. at the David L. Fields Building at 110 East William Street in Danville. Next story is titled, Not Enough Votes. Ordinance to lower majority vote number fails to pass City Council. This is written by Kegla White in Danville. Danville City Council rejected an ordinance on Tuesday that would officially set the required number of votes to pass ordinance to 7. It also would have given the mayor of Danville a vote should an ordinance secure only 6 yes votes. Alderwoman Eve Ludwig voted in favor of the ordinance, saying it is impractical to expect alderpersons to attend every meeting, making it difficult for the council to pass city business. She cited a statistic that only 20% of city council meetings in 2024 were attended by all 14 alderpersons, saying Danville should utilize their home rule right to dictate their own voting rules, regardless of state statutes. Vice Mayor Tricia Teague disagreed, saying the democratic process is working if ordinances are failing to garner votes. Business is actually getting conducted and many votes are failing, Teague said. On these nights when something failed to pass because it was 7-5 votes, that's what was supposed to happen, because that's the democratic process. It was supposed to fail because it was not convincing enough for everybody to agree. Teague also read from the official 2025 Illinois Municipal League handbook, saying cities with home rule do not have to have the right to override state law, which requires a majority of elected officials to pass votes regardless how many are in attendance, in an effort to shift the balance of power. Home rule is for very specific things, and you can't change the balance of power, Teague said. Lowering the number of required votes to just 7 and awaiting the mayor to vote to get to 7 could also introduce chaos, Teague said. It's a lot of political games where somebody says, oh, I'll just wait for a certain person to go on vacation because I know they're going to be gone at specific times of the year, and then we bring certain things back up, she said. That is not what should be happening in the democratic system. After listening to discussion, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. agreed with Teague and others. You haven't heard me say much because I was not involved in this. It was shared with me after it was done, Williams said. The more I think about it, I agree absolutely that the mayor should not be able to cast a 7th vote if it were to go with what was presented tonight, Williams said. Alderman-elect Doug Ahrens, who will be sworn in alongside Alderman-elect Jaleel Jones and Tom Hightower at the next city council meeting Tuesday, May 6, spoke against the ordinance during public comment. If you have members that are not attending meetings accountably and managing that situation should come before something as drastic as changing the number of votes it takes, Aaron said, adding that alderpersons who don't attend meetings should not be paid. Ludwig, Carolyn Wands, Sherry Pickering, and Chairman Mike Purr voted in favor of the ordinance, while Teague, John Cooper, Darren York, Bob Iverson, Mike O'Kane, Heidi Wilson, Chairman Rick Striebing, and Ed Butler voted against it. Alderman Robert Williams and James Pushard were absent from Tuesday's meeting. And there's a picture of Danville City Council members are pictured at the April 15, 2025 meeting. From left are Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., Chairman Rick Striebing, Alderwoman Carolyn Wands, Alderwoman Eve Ludwig, and Vice Mayor Tricia Teague. Next story is titled, What Are You Doing to Keep Us Safe? Danville resident raises concern about illegal deportations. And this is written by Kegla White. Retired midwife Karen Schiltz called on the city of Danville to protect residents from illegal deportations. We all know the case of Mr. Kilmer Albrego Garcia, a legal resident of the United States detained in El Salvador at the Cayucot prison without due process. Schilt said, I want to know what you're going to do to protect Danville residents. Garcia, a 29-year-old Salvadorian and legal Maryland resident married to a U.S. citizen with whom he shares 3 disabled children, was detained and deported to El Salvador in what the federal government said was an administrative error. Back in 2019, the immigration judge said Garcia was believed to be a ranking member of the MS-13 gang, according to a proven and reliable source, according to the Associated Press. Critics of the detention say Garcia was not given due process, as there was no warrant for his arrest or a trial to prove his guilt before he was deported. The federal judge has ordered the Trump administration to return Garcia to Maryland, and the U.S. Supreme Court ordered that the federal government must facilitate his release, something Trump said is out of his hands, and Nayib Bukele, president of El Salvador, said it's preposterous in their meeting at the White House Monday, April 14th. Schultz, who said she has lived in Danville for 54 years, went on to share stories of local friends of hers who are residents. "I have friends who were born in Hong Kong. They became citizens 38 years ago. I held their youngest on my lap while Mayor Bob Jones declared them citizens and administered the oath. I think there were bagpipes. Their children were born in Danville before they were citizens," Schultz said. She also shared about a German-born friend who has lived in the United States for 57 years as a legal resident, but she said she is also afraid. And a white Christian cisgender woman retired after "I'm a white Christian woman retired after living and working in Danville for 54 years, and I'm afraid," Schultz said. "If they can take people off the streets, out of the homes, businesses, schools, and churches without a warrant, without charges, without notification of wrongdoing, without due process, there will be no recourse to me when they come for me. What are you going to do to keep me safe? Though no one on the city council responded to the questions during public comment, the commercial news reached out to the police chief Christopher Yates and Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. for comment. "I don't see anything happening that Danville residents need protecting from, although there are certainly things happening in this country," Williams said. We observe and respect and follow all local, state, and federal laws," Yates said. Okay, so there are no obituaries today, so we'll go on to the next story titled DACC Foundation Scholarship Deadline May 1st, and this is written by a staff reporter. Danville Area Community College students have a golden opportunity to ease the cost of college simply by applying for a scholarship. The DACC Foundation is currently accepting applications for the 2025-26 scholarship program, and the deadline is Thursday, May 1st at 11:59 p.m. Students need to complete just one online form to be considered for all available foundation scholarships. This year, the DACC Foundation will award more than 800 scholarships. In the 2024-25 academic year, 857 scholarships totaling over $1 million were awarded, a milestone the foundation has now surpassed for the second consecutive year, a news release states. Even more impressive, for the fourth year in a row, every student who applied and attended DACC received a scholarship. The foundation encourages all students, traditional and non-traditional, full-time or part-time, to apply. Whether you're a first-time student, recent high school graduate, returning adult learner, or currently enrolled at DACC, scholarships awarded through the cycle will apply to the 2025-26 academic year, beginning with the fall of 2025 semester. Registration for both summer and fall is now open. The scholarship application is available at the www.dacc.edu/scholarships. For assistance or more information, contact Gina Davis, Scholarship Manager, at 217-443-8893 or by email at foundation@dacc.edu or gdavis@dacc.edu. The DACC Foundation is located in the Bremer Conference and Workforce Development Center on campus. A not-for-profit organization, the foundation supports student success and community impact by managing resources responsibly. And there's a picture of donor Amy Thompson is pictured with Connor Corson, Tyson Raining, and Alexander Ritchie, recipients of the Colton John Wright Scholarships at the 2024 DACC Foundation Honors Program. Next, closure to impact State Road 63 near West Lebanon. Written by a staff reporter in Warren County, Indiana. The Indiana Department of Transportation announces a full closure that will impact State Road 63 in Warren County near Seeger Junior Senior High School. Beginning on or after Wednesday, April 16th, all four lanes of the SR-63 will close between SR-28 and SR-263 due to the condition of the pipe. This closure will anticipate to last until fall. This timeline is subject to change once a contractor is selected. The official detour route around the closure is SR-28 to SR-263, back to SR-263. NDOT encourages drivers to seek an alternate route and to use caution while traveling in and around the work zones. Next story is titled, Rotary Prepares to Annual Memorial for Annual Memorial Day Flag Distribution. For the last 25 years, the Danville Rotary Club has lined Vermilion Street in Danville with American flags to honor heroes over Memorial Day weekend. Each flag includes the name of a past service member or anyone chosen by donors to honor. A donation allows individuals to either name veterans or civilians for the flag, or the club can choose heroes chosen by the War Museum to memorialize. Flags are available for purchase through May 19th. Proceeds from the event will go to support the Vermilion County War Museum, the Sparky Songer Scholarship at DACC, and the community projects by the Danville Rotary Club. The Danville Rotary Club was founded on November 1st of 1915 and has served the Danville area for more than 100 years with motto, Service Above Self. To purchase a flag, visit https://rotaryflag.com. Mail-in forms to purchase individual flags can be found at rotaryflag.com/wp-content. Mail-in forms for corporate sponsorships can be found at rotaryflag.com/wp-content. That's a lot of slashes and dots. Sorry about that. Those interested in helping to place the flags along Vermilion Street are invited to join Rotary members May 23rd, beginning at 8 a.m. in the Schlarman Academy parking lot, South Campus. The club meets at Workforce Enterprises on Vermilion Street on the first Monday of each month. All people are welcome. Next story is titled, Schweitzer Clarifies Time Off for Veterans, Recreates Veterans Task Force, and this is written by a staff reporter in Springfield. State Representative Brandon Schweitzer, Republican in Danville, passed two measures, House Bill 1882 and House Bill 2777, to benefit veterans out of the House. The legislative pieces were originally filed by State Representative Stephen Kifalti of Aurora, a United States Marine Corps veteran and vice chair of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, before chief sponsorship was transferred to Representative Schweitzer, also a veteran of the Marine Corps serving 21 years. House Bill 1882 is a measure to reinstate the Veterans Service Related Elements Task Force that was repealed on December 31st, 2023, and rename it the Veterans Service Task Force. The task force will be made up of 15 people, meeting at least twice yearly to focus on reviewing and making recommendations regarding veteran service-related ailments that are not currently recognized by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, along with other services our veterans might need. A report of the task force findings and recommendations must be submitted to the General Assembly and the Governor by December 31st of 2026, and the task force will be dissolved on December 31st, 2027. House Bill 2777 is an initiative of the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs that seeks to clarify time off for veteran medical appointments. In current law, an employee who is also a veteran is permitted 4 days off per year to visit a veteran's hospital or clinic for an examination of a military service-related disability and those days do not take away from their accrued sick time. This measure expands the use of those 4 days by changing the language from veterans hospitals or clinics to veteran medical appointments, encompassing all needed veteran medical intervention. I thank Representative Kifawat for, her for her leadership on these important measures that will continue to benefit veterans, Schweizer said. By passing this legislation out of the House, we are one step closer to making such needed clarifications and expansions to exiting state law and to setting up a task force to explore more on service-related ailments, an issue that is very dear to me and needs to be addressed. I am pleased that my colleagues saw the need for these pieces of legislation, and I'm thankful that she allowed me to take over sponsorship on this bill. I appreciate being able to work with a fellow United States Marine veteran in the Illinois House to meet the needs of our veterans. In all the years that I've been serving, veteran issues have always had bipartisan support of every representative in the Illinois House, stated Kifawat. These two pieces of legislation solidify our ongoing commitment of giving the support and respect to our fellow veterans that they deserve for their service. Both measures now await consideration in the Senate. To track the progress of House Bill 1882 and 2777, visit ilga.gov. With questions on either bills, contact Schweitzer at 217-477-0104 or representatives or repswiser.com. Next story is about Paul Revere. They've dedicated a whole page about the midnight ride of Paul Revere anniversary. And there's a section here that says, who was Paul Revere? Born January 1st, 1735, Boston's North End. Died May 10th, 1818, Boston family man. Revere had 16 children. 5 died in infancy with 2 wives, Sarah, and from 1776 to 1736 to 73, and Rachel Walker from 1745 to 1813. He was an industrialist, an American silversmith, military officer, and industrialist. Revere played a major role during the opening months of the American Revolutionary War in Massachusetts. He learned silversmithing from his father, took a small operation and transformed it into a foundry and copper mill, which produced items ranging from ornate silverware to 1,000-pound church bells. Known for bells, 146 still exist. The Boston Massacre engraving called the Bloody Massacre, perpetrated in King Street, Boston on March 5th, 1770, and hundreds of examples of his silverware, teapots, flatware, and platters located in museums such as MFA in Boston, the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, the Paul Revere House in Boston, and the Worcester, Massachusetts Art Museum. Iconic image in popular culture, Revere's image is always taller, younger, and better looking than in reality, according to Nina Zanian, executive director of the Paul Revere House. There's the John Singleton Copley portrait, so we know what he looks like. That's not what you see in these popular images. And there's a picture of John Singleton Copley's 1768 portrait of Paul Revere on exhibit in the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. It's pretty neat. He's a pretty cool guy, I guess. Okay, there's a picture of Trucelli guest speaker at noon Kiwanis meeting. It's Brooke Trucelli, Community Relations Director of the Danville Public Library, was the guest speaker at the recent noon Kiwanis meeting. The group will meet today, April 17th at noon at Charlotte's at 402 East Gilbert Street. The public is invited to attend. And then there's a big collage of pictures. The Vermilion County Pride Coalition holds drag race fundraiser. The Vermilion County Pride Coalition held their first ever fundraiser on Saturday, April 12th at DACC's Bremer Center Theater. The drag race performance feature four drag queens and kings performing for the title of Best Performer. Winner Karma Knightley, Midas Wells Salde, Spank Knightley, and Hera Wynn. Funds raised will help the group put on their third annual Pride celebration in Temple Plaza in Danville on Saturday, June 7th, 2025. And there's a picture of VC Pride Coalition Board speaks to audience members after the drag show fundraiser. And there's a picture of drag queen Hera Wynn and a picture, and yeah, that's about it. And the couple Janelle Smith on the right and Trevin Smith on the left pose for the photo at the VC Pride Coalition drag race fundraiser. The two are marrying on April 20th, 2025, after more than 10 years of dating. They celebrated their bachelor party by attending the drag race. And then there's one more. Drag king Spanky Knightley performs a live song for the VC Pride Coalition drag race fundraiser on Saturday, April 12th. And drag queen Hera Wynn is the other one. So, looks like they had a lot of fun. Okay, we'll run through the community briefs. Spring clean up day set. Danville Noon Rotary invites the community to participate in the 2025 Spring Clean Up Day. Join the club Saturday, April 26th from 9 to 11 a.m. to help clean up West Newell Road from Vermilion Street to Shake Rag Road. Meet at the Walmart Super Center parking lot at 4101 North Vermilion Street, just south of the Burger King. Look for the Pride Grows trailer. Wear weather appropriate clothing and comfortable shoes. Bring your own gloves and bug repellent spray. And Hill to speak at Lions meeting. Tanya Hill with the DACC Foundation will speak to the Danville Lions Club at noon today, April 17th. The Lions Club meets at Spanky's Banquet Hall at 409 East Main Street. And Hoopston Library looking for photos. Volunteers at the Hoopston Public Library Archive are researching the mom-and-pop grocery stores that used to exist in Hoopston. They have address listings and old advertisements as well as some old photos of vacant lots or former buildings, but none of how the stores looked in their heyday. If anyone has any such photos, the Library Archive team would love to borrow them to make copies for their files. Stop by the library at 110 North 4th Street in Hoopston or call at 217-283-6711 to help. Okay, lottery numbers for today. Illinois Lottery for Wednesday. Pick 3, midday 151. Pick 4 is 3789. Lucky day 28, 29, 34, 35, and 41. And the lotto jackpot was $6.2 million. And the Indiana Lottery for Wednesday's daily 3, midday is 900. Daily 4, midday is 2337. Lotto jackpot is $2 million. Powerball jackpot is $113 million, and the Mega Millions jackpot is $112 million. So that'll pretty much be it for today. It looks like a pretty slow news day here, so looks like it's going to be a rainy couple days, two or three days here, but in the 50s and 60s, so hopefully not too bad. And it's Easter this Sunday, so hope you have a good Easter. Find a lot of Easter eggs, and hopefully you have a good week, and I hope to see you again next week. Take care. Have happy Easter.